Last time we discussed the Isser Hana'ah from Malacha performed by a non-Jew on behalf of Israel on Shabbos. But before we go on to our next related subtopic, we just want to make a few more points on the issue of Isser Hana'ah. The first of them emerging from Rabbi Zilberstein's Sefer, the Malacha Mamnayah. So Rabbi Zilberstein raises the following question on pages Ayin Gimel to Ayin Dalet. We discussed that based on the Gemara in Beis HaKaf Dalet and Beis HaKaf Hayim Dalet, there's a din of Bethdei Sheyasu, that where a Nachri performs Malacha on behalf of Israel in a prohibited fashion on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from that Malacha until the amount of time elapses after Shabbos that it would take to perform that Malacha to provide that service. So generally speaking, it should be that any Malacha performed on behalf of Israel would be mutter after the waiting of the Bethdei Sheyasu. So are there Malachas, are there things that could be performed on behalf of Israel on Shabbos that would never be mutter? So he raises the following question. Let's say you have a Nachri that takes a valuable picture of a Yisrael on Shabbos for the benefit of Yisrael. A Jew is meeting with some elected official, and there's a photographer there, and the photographer takes the picture of the meeting on behalf of the Yisrael because he thinks that the Yisrael will enjoy having a memento of that meeting. Or even the photographer goes into some tish or some Shabbos event that normally speaking wouldn't be photographed, and takes a photograph because he thinks that the participants would like to see the photo, or he wants to send it to the newspapers. So would it be mutter for the Yisrael to be nehneh to use that photo that was taken on his behalf? Because why should that be different? So maybe Bechdei Sheyasu is only relevant where the quality of the malacha would be the same if it was performed after Shabbos as if it was performed on Shabbos itself. But here, it's a moment that could never be recaptured during the week, a one-time event in history. So if you don't, it's not like you could have taken the picture just as well after Shabbos. That probably goes back about 20 years. There is a picture on the front page of the New York Times, I forget if it was on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, of, I think it was Rabbi Jonathan Feldman, Rabbi Daniel Feldman's brother, who was davening for the Amud in the YU Beis Medrash. I think he was davening Mincha, and I forget if it was Erev Hashanah or Yom Kippur, so the picture on the front page of the paper, Jews usher in the new year around the world, was of Rabbi Feldman davening for the Amud in the YU Beis Medrash. So that picture was taken 10 minutes before Shkia. But let's say the picture would have been taken 10 minutes after Shkia, so could the person with the picture hang it up on his wall? So Rabbi Zilberstein leaves that question with a tzarafia. Yeah?
I mean, couldn't we in theory get that picture if we just timed a camera to go off? I mean, nowadays, we could put a camera.
Yeah.
We could also do it then, I guess. Put a camera in the corner on a delay, so it'll take the picture in 20 minutes. Or in 22 hours if you
want
to get a picture of right before,
Shal Shabbos.
That's a separate...
I'm sorry? Is that any different than any other secret issues with, like, security cameras or video cameras or whatever?
Well, here you want the picture.
Okay.
That's a separate question as to whether, even though in principle we pass in the Shvisas Kalim, that there's no such Shvisas Kalim under certain circumstances, maybe there is, so maybe you couldn't set that device... that's how we. I'm not so interested in the answer to the question as to the theoretical question that he raises. You saw.
But how would I be looking at it?
No, it sounds like we'd be looking at it and enjoying it. So.
Also, having the picture. It's like one thing to look at, another thing to like have. Like they make the photo album for you. It's just like.
Right. So you're right, you have to figure out exactly how to define the Hana'ah in question. But that's the theoretical question, yeah. Fine. Yeah, another point there in Pesach and Zion. Let's say a person, as we discussed previously, in general, we don't rely on the Bala Iter, we don't rely on the position that you can have a Nachri perform a Malacha D'Oraisa on behalf of Israel, even B'Makom Mitzvah. But let's say a person by mistake relied on the Baal Iter. He thought that you're allowed to tell the Naji to turn on a light in your home so you could have a Sutta Shabbos. So after you realize the mistake, would you be allowed to be nana from that Malacha? So he assumes that if the person who told the Nachri wasn't aware that we don't assume like the Iter, he thought that he was doing a permissible Amir L'Nachri, so then we wouldn't impose on that person, definitely not on the people around him, the Isser Hana. Okay. Next point. We discussed last time the Pesach of Shmir Shabbos Kolchas. I think this is what we ended off with. Yeah.
The
Pesach was that if a person by mistake relied on the Baal Iter and told the Nachri to turn on the lights for him so he could have the Suda Shabbos, let's say, so if he was, even though he was mistaken in his analysis of what he's allowed to do, we wouldn't impose the Isser Hanah. So he'd be allowed to benefit from the light afterwards. Okay. I think the last thing we discussed in the previous Chabura was the Pesach of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa in a situation where a non-Jew comes into a room, and the light's on, he doesn't realize that there's someone sitting there and learning, he turns the light off, and then he says, oops, and he turns the light back on. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa paskins based on an Eliyahu Rabbah that the Be'er Halacha quotes in Simen Reish Nun Vav, Simen Shin Zayin, that it would be that it would be permissible to benefit from the light because that's essentially a form of a daita benafshei kavod. He wasn't turning on the light to benefit the Yisrael, he was turning on the light to make up for the fact that he turned off the light, which he never should have turned off in the first place. That was the psak of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. There's a related tshuva in Rav Vosner's tshuva, Shevet Halevi Chayel of Yud Simen and Beis. Shevet Halevi's Chayel of Yud Simen and Beis, he raises the following question. The shaila was, a person had some non-Jewish domestic help, and he was going out for the Friday night Seuda, and he set a Shabbos timer, a Shabbos clock, that the lights should go on at 11 p.m. Fine. So the non-Jewish domestic help walks into the room at 10:45, walks into the house at 10:45, at 10:30, and the Baal Bais isn't home yet, and the person sees that the lights are all off, so she thinks she'll do the Baal Bais a favor, so she goes and disables the timer, and then she turns on the light. So can the Yisrael, can the Baal Bais be nana for the light when he comes back? After all, didn't the Nochri turn on the light on his behalf? So he thinks, or Rosner thinks, this isn't necessarily analogous to the case of the Eliyahu Rabbah. The case of the Eliyahu Rabbah, again, was where the Nachri comes in and intends to improve the quality of the flame, and in doing so he extinguishes the flame, and then he relights it to make up for the fact that he extinguished the flame. So at the point that the Nachri walked into the room, the flame was on, he attempted to extinguish it, and that didn't work out. He attempted to enhance it, he ended up extinguishing it, and then he relights it. So there, the Eliyahu Rabbah said, that's considered a daita d'nafshei kavod, he's just making up for his mistake, he's not doing an act of malach on behalf of Yisrael. Rav Avner says, maybe this is a little bit different, because here, the Nachri walks into the house, okay, the lights are off, the Nachri disables the Shabbos clock system, and then turns on the light. So here, the Nachri is turning on the light solely on behalf of the Yisrael. The status quo is that there's no light, and then they're turning on the light on behalf of the Yisrael. So maybe that's better, maybe that's worse, than the case of the Eliyahu Rabbah. In the case of the Eliyahu Rabbah, there is a candle, there's a light on. He's trying to do something to it, messes up, and then corrects his mistake. Here, you walk in, the light's not on. You disable the Shabbos clock, so the light's not going on at this point, and then you turn on the light. He thinks maybe that's worse. Maybe even if you'll be making like the Eliyahu Rabbah in the first case, maybe the case of the Shabbos clock here is different. But then he says there might still be what to rely on because, after all, the Yisrael had put into place a system where, at the time that he would get home, the light would be on. So bottom line, the Nachri in the aggregate hasn't changed anything from what benefit he would have had had the Nachri not come in the first place. And also the whole chashash of the Isser Hanah, why do we say that it's usher to be nana from Malacha that a non-Jew performs on your behalf? That's because you're worried maybe you would tell the non-Jew to do the Malacha for you. So here, that's less of a consideration because bottom line, he had set up a system where the light would go on anyway. So in the end, Rav Avner thinks that there is what to rely on to be nana from the light in this situation where the Nachri had disabled and then the timer system and then turned on the light.
I don't mind this case. We want to say the Nachri is also an Nana from the light, and therefore it's not.
The Nachri didn't do it the way the Shaila is presented. The Nachri didn't need the light to himself. He did it solely on behalf of the Baal Bais.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out in this situation. You're not talking about the talking about a case where the guy comes in early.
What he's talking about a case where the guy comes in early. He comes in early, he sees the lights are off, and he thinks, oh, let me turn on the light so that...
Then the Jew comes, meaning... The Jew doesn't come in to go on at 12, he's at 11,
right.
The guy turns it on at 10:45.
Right.
So then the Jew comes in at 10:50, and he has 10 minutes of extra light that he wouldn't have had in the
previous... So that's not his case. That you probably should not be Nana from.
Well, according to Rabban's second concern, according to his first concern, you're right. He wouldn't have had the light, and he only has it because of the guy.
Right.
So for that reason, we wouldn't allow it.
Right.
Maybe for a second svar that the whole reason why we shouldn't have a mirror allowed them is... The whole reason why we're not allowed to Nana from the light is because we don't want to encourage it.
Yeah, so maybe you would have told him to turn on 10 minutes earlier.
Okay.
I think Eliyahu asked last time what the din would be if you have the heating system on or air conditioner on, and the Nachi comes and changes the thermostat so that it's colder, it's warmer, but the basic function is already there, you're just enhancing the function. So we thought that would be analogous to the case of increasing the light where there's no Isser HaNah. So I found that in print in this nice little sefer entitled Amir Lenachri, of all titles, written by Shlomo Dov Segel of Bnei Brak, Shnas Shabbas Aretz, so you can do the math and figure out what year it printed. So he writes, quoting from, I don't think he quotes anyone, but he assumes that is going to be mutter as we suggested. Okay. Now let's move on to the question of remiza. So it's clear from Shulchan Aruch and the Raman, Simon Shin Zayin, that under normal circumstances, wherever Amira Lenakri is usher, remiza is usher as well. It doesn't make a difference if you explicitly instruct or request of the Nachri to do malacha, or if you hint to the Nachri to do the malacha. They are both usher. So we have the Ramah in Se'if Kaf Beis, who writes, called Davar She'asir Lomer Le'inu Yehudi La'asosu V'Shabbos, Asir Lirmos La'asosu. So you're not allowed to be merameh for whatever is usher ba'amira. Aval Motir Lirmos La'asosu Malacha Akra Shabbos. But you are allowed to be romeh on Shabbos to do Malacha after Shabbos. And the Mechaber in Se'if Beis tells you the flip case, that you can do remiza before Shabbos to do malacha on Shabbos. Now, there's an important caveat there. If you do remiza before Shabbos to do malacha on Shabbos, the malacha would still be usher to be nana from on Shabbos. That's what Mr. Brewer points out here in Sifkat and Yud Aleph. But in theory, as far as the iser itself of amira, the remiza is only usher whether remiza is done on Shabbos, not if the remiza is done before Shabbos for Shabbos or on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Okay? So remiza is usher on Shabbos for Shabbos, remiza is mutter on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, and mutter on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos. Judah.
So did Mechaber and Ramah agree on that, or like...
I don't think the Mechaber would disagree with the Ramah in Kaf Beis. No one disagrees. Sif Beis, the Ramah is not Masik, so there's no reason to believe the Ramah would argue.
Right.
And I don't believe that the Mechaber would argue on the fact that you could be Romeis to do Malacha after Shabbos. No, I don't believe there's an Apophis. Okay, how do we know, why should Remiza be Usher? So the Magen Avraham writes in Sifkat and Lamed Aleph that it's a Kol Shekein. If the Nachri, you don't tell the Nachri to do anything. The Nachri comes and does malacha on your behalf, you're not allowed to be nana from the malacha. So Kol Shekein, if you do something to encourage the Nachri to do the malacha, even if it's only Al Yidei Remisa. That's what the Magen Avraham presents it, that if you're not allowed to be nana from the malacha, if no one says anything to the Nachri, so Kol Shekein, it would be usher to be romeis, or merameis rather, to the Nachri to perform malacha as well. Chayadim writes here in Simon Samach Beis, Se'if Beis, not aware of anyone that argues, Simon Samach Beis, Se'if Beis, that if you're merames with your hand by motion, even without saying anything, then that is aser as well. There's no distinction between a verbal hint and a pantomime hint. That's the Magen Avraham in Sivkatan Lamed Aleph. The Magen Avraham Simen Shin Samech Sivkatan Lamed Aleph.
Shin Samech?
Simen Shin Samech Sivkatan Lamed Aleph. There is a Taz, which Avi and Avi were discussing with me a couple of days ago. The Taz in Sivkatan Beis quotes a Bach. And then some of the Achronim seem to understand in the Taz that the Taz ends up being makel about Remiza. If that's true, it's questionable what the parameters of that Pula are, but whether or not that is the Kavan of the Taz, that's not accepted by later Poskim. So as a practical matter, whatever the position of the Taz may or may not be, Remiza is Aser wherever Amira is Aser. Right. Now, Poskim do distinguish between types of Remiza, and then we'll discuss under what circumstances some type of Remiza may be permissible. So the term that Poskim use is Remiza b'derech tzivoy as opposed to Remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy. Not sure what the earliest usage of these terms are. If you trace it and find out, you can let me know. But the later poskim use these terms to describe what's basically a pattern from the earlier sources. So what does remiza d'derech tzivoy mean? Remiza in a form of command. So in English, Rabbi Yisimcha Bunim Cohen in his English sefer has the following definition, that remiza d'derech tzivoy is remiza that has one of two components. You don't need both, but you either or of the following. Either a request to take an action, or mention explicitly of a malacha. Okay, either a request to do something, even without mentioning the malacha that you want to do, or mentioning a malacha without a request. So for example, if you say the person has lights on in the bedroom and you want to go to sleep, so you tell a nachri, please help me out, the lights are on, I can't sleep. So you didn't tell him explicitly to do a malacha, but you said please help me out is a request to do something. So if you're describing the situation that needs action and telling him please take action, even if you don't tell him specifically what action to take, even if you don't mention the malacha, that's considered remiza b'derech tzivoy. So they say, please help me out, this is the situation, even if you don't tell him how to help you out, that is remiza b'derech tzivoy. Or alternatively, if you mention the malacha without mentioning the situation, or you mention the malacha without requesting him to do something, so you say, I can't turn off the lights here because it's Shabbos. So you're mentioning the malacha, you're mentioning turning off the lights, you're not telling him, please turn out the lights because it's Shabbos and I can't turn them off, you're just saying, I can't turn off the lights because it's Shabbos. So that, he quotes, according to many poskim, many contemporary poskim, is also considered remiza v'derech tzivoy, mentioning the malacha, even if you don't make a specific request for action. He quotes in the footnote that Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that this second category of just mentioning the malach alone is not remiza v'derech tzivoy, but he quotes that most of the contemporary or post in the last generation assume that that is remiza v'derech tzivoy as well, and therefore would be aser.
Mm-hmm. Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that
if you mention the malacha but don't say please do something about it, you just say, I can't turn off the lights because of Shabbos, but don't say, please turn off the lights or please help me out, then that isn't remiza b'derech tzivoy. But he quotes that the standard mahalach and poskim is that that's also considered remiza b'derech tzivoy. Again, either an explicit request to take action or mention of the malacha would be considered a mitzvah b'derech tzivui, and therefore aser on Shabbos wherever amir l'nachri is aser. Okay, but then post can discuss a second category of remiza shelo b'derech tzivui, a remiza not in the form of a command. So take a look at the Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Zayin Sif Katan Ayin Vav. Simen Shin Zayin Sif Katan Ayin Vav. So Mishnah Brura writes as follows. This is going on the Ramah that we started with, that you're not allowed to be merames on Shabbos, says the Mishnah Brura. The gam zehu b'chal amir l'nachri kevin sh'ayidei b'mizaso osa b'shabbos v'adin sh'asir lomer lo b'shabbos eza davar sh'yavim mitoch kach sh'yasa malachri. You're not allowed to tell him anything on Shabbos that would give him the understanding that you want him to do a malacha. V'alkein asir lomer le'inu yehudi sh'yikanei achotmo k'dei sh'yavim sh'yasir ha'pecham sh'verosh haner. So you say, please clean out your nose, which is a hint that you wanted to clean out the coals on the candle. Ah, kisha omer haremiza leina yehudi shelo b'lashon tziva. But if you express the request viremiza without a lashon tziva, kagon shomer haner eino meir yafa, you say the light, the candle, is not burning properly. O, eini yachal likros lor haner hazeh sheish b'pechem. Or, I can't read by the light of this candle because there are some coals that are inhibiting its performance. V'shomei ha'eino yehudi u'mesakno. And then the Nachri hears what you're saying. So you're not telling him do a malacha, and you're not telling him to do something specific, and you're not saying that that this is a malach involved. So then, shari de'ein zeh b'chlal amira. So that's not considered amira. Remiza shelo b'derech tzivui is not considered amira. So if you say haner eino meir yafa, the light is not working up to our standards, the candle was not performing properly, that is a remiza shelo b'derech tzivui. Okay, but then the Mishnah says, very nice. So we solve the problem that is not considered amir l'nachri. Okay, remiza shelo b'derech tzivui is not considered amir l'nachri. But we're not home free yet, because there's still an isser hanah. So even if the Nachri were to do it without you saying anything, it would be usher to be nana from his malacha. So what good is it that we've knocked this down to remiza shelo b'derech tzivui, and if not b'chlal amir l'akum, you still can't be nana from the malacha. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, v'ein le'asor mita'am shenana mimalacha she'asa ha'eina yehudi b'shvila. And in this situation where you tell him, haner eino meir yafeh, you're allowed to be nana from the result. Why? De'ein ze hana'a kol kach. Because this is not such a hana'a. De'gam mikodem hayayachol al pihadchak litgros lover. Because even before he did anything, you could still use the candle. Prima gadim. So that's what we discussed last time, that there's no iser hana'a in a situation where you could have done what you needed to do without the Nachri's action. He's just making it easier. So you have a dim light, and he's brightening it. You could have read with a dim light. Now it's a little bit easier to read with a brighter light, but he hasn't fundamentally allowed you to do something that you couldn't have done anyway. So that situation, we explain, there's no Isser Hana'a. So where there's no Isser Hana'a, then Remiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivui is Mutter. Meaning, fundamentally, remiza shelo b'derech tzivui is always mutter in theory, if not considered amir l'nachri. Just under most circumstances, it won't help because it'll still be usher to be nana from the malacha that the nachri performs. Because remiza shel avedeh tzivui is no better than if the nachri did it without telling anything. It's only under the circumstances where there's no isser hana to start with that remiza shel avedeh tzivui would be useful. So in this situation where you have a candle that isn't burning well, and you tell him to do something to enhance the flame, then, or no, you don't tell him, you're meramid shel avedeh tzivui, that you want him to do something to enhance the flame. So there, since there's not going to be any isser hana, that form of remiza would be mutter. Okay? So again, fundamentally, remiza shel avedeh tzivui is always going to be mutter, in as much as it's not amir lenachri, but under most circumstances, it won't help, because you wouldn't be able to be nana from the result anyway.
The only where you could be nana if the goy did it.
Right. The situation where if the goy did it on his own without being asked, you could be nana, so then you can be merames shelo b'derech tzivui. So, Shmir Shabbos Paskins, Perek Lamed Se'if Hei, that you're allowed to say to a nachri on Shabbos, it's hard for me to sleep with the light on in here. So you're not saying, please do something for me. You're not telling him to take an action. You're not saying, I can't turn off the lights because of Shabbos. You're saying, Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma, it's hard for me to sleep because there is, or when there is light on in the room. And then, if the Nachri gets the hint, literally, he's allowed to turn the lights off and you're allowed to go to sleep. So that's a kind of indirect Hana'a which is mutter in Hilchas Amir L'Nachri, and therefore you can have a Nachri do that for you, Vermiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivui. So that's a classic case, I think. In the Mishnah Berurah's classic case in the Prima Gadim is to enhance the candle by removing the Pecham. So in contemporary times, the classic case is where there's a light under the bedroom and you can't fall asleep, and you say to the Nachri, I can't fall asleep because there's light under here. That's the... I think in... There's a certain misconception among people who aren't Yodei Sefer that wherever Amir L'Nachri is Usser, you could always be Merames, and that removes the Usser. So that's not the case. The only situation in which Remiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivui is relevant is this kind of a case of something where it would be mutter to be nana from the malacha performed by the nachri had he done it for you without any remiza or indication.
But you couldn't do it. You couldn't say I can't see in my room because the light is off.
Right, because then that would be an iser hana from malacha's nachri. Here it's only because. Here it's only because it's an indirect hana that there's no objective hana. The absence of light is not something that you are physically nana from in the classic sense. So it's that indirect hana which should be mutter, as we discussed last time, in Hilchos Amira L'Nachri. Rav Zilberstein does quote from his father, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv had a different Mahalach, and according to Rabbi Yashiv, this kula was not so apparent. So the way he presents it is the following. We alluded to last time, we didn't really focus on the fact that wherever there's an Isser of Amir L'Nachri, and wherever there's an Isser Hana from Amir L'Nachri, there's also a Chiv Macha. So if you see a Nachri about to perform a lach on your behalf, you have to tell him to stop. And if a Nachri did perform a lach on your behalf, you have to tell him to stop so that he won't do it again. So for example, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. We're going back again to Simen Reish Ayin Vav. Mishnah Berurah and Simen Reish Ayin Vav, I think it's Sifkat and Yud Aleph. Yeah. So the Ramah here said in the beginning of Simen Reish Ayin Vav that if a Nachri does malacha on behalf of Yisrael in his own home without being asked, so even though there's an Isser Hana'a, the Jew doesn't have to go out and sleep in the street. Meaning there's a certain... he doesn't have to leave his home just because the Nachri did a malach on his behalf in the house. So the Mishavur, their quotes from the Magen Avraham, V'yesirenu ala haba shelo lasos kein. So even though you don't have to leave the house, that far we don't take this Zayr the Rabban of the Yisrna, but you have to tell him, don't do it again. Aval in this damim liyisrael shera be'eis she'ina yehudi rosa lahalik b'shvilo. But if you're catching him in the act, you see he's about to turn the light, o lasos hamadur to put on the furnace. Tarach limchos b'yadu, so you have to be mocha right then and there. Even if the Nachri is doing malach on your behalf in his own home, you still have to be mocha. If he's doing it with your materials, so there is a din of malach. Fine. If you see a Nachri either performing, about to perform malach on your behalf in a prohibited fashion, then you have to be mocha, you have to tell him, don't do that. Fine. So Rav Yashiv is bothered by the following question, the other Rechonim are bothered by also. Why is it that Remiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy is mutter? That case of the Mishavrua from the Bima Gadim, where your Merame is at Eina Ner Meir Yatha, and then the Nafi is going to come and he's going to enhance the flame by removing the pechum. So very good, it's not a Mirva Nafi because it's Remiza Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy. And it's not going to be an Isser Hana'a because the Hana'a is incidental because you have the light anyway. So very good. But still, why isn't there a Chiyah Macha? Why are you allowed to be Meramiz Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy? Isn't there a Chiyah Macha? You have to, if you always have to tell the Nafi not to do malacha on your behalf, so you also should have to tell him not to do malacha. At least you can't facilitate a situation where you are implicitly encouraging him to do malacha. Okay? So that's the question. Well, what about the Chiyah Macha?
Chiyah Macha is only here where you can't get hana.
Oh, so that's what some say. Good. Everybody else doesn't say that. So that's a question that Rav Zilberstein quotes Rav Yashiv as addressing. And he suggested, Rav Yashiv suggested, that there's a difference between where you are simply enhancing an already existing situation. There in the Hasaras Pechon, you have a flame that's lit, and there's something that's blocking the candle from being effective. So you're just removing something which is blocking the effect of the light. So there, where that's a more, a less significant action, there wouldn't be a chiyuv macha. But any time the Nachri is doing a malacha gemura, if he's doing a malacha from scratch, so then there would be a chiyuv macha, and there would be no heter of remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy. Let's say a case where you have one candle in the room and you tell the Nachri, I'm not able to read well. And then he lights the second candle. So according to the standard of Isser Hana'a, since I could have read anyway, even though with some difficulty, if the Nachri lights another candle and he only got the message to do that for Misa Shelo B'Derech Tzivoy, it would be mutter to be nana from the additional candle. But according to Rav Yashav Stolich, that would be usher because there he's doing a malacha from scratch. It's true that as far as the Isser Hanah is concerned, there's no Isser Hanah because I could have read anyway. But there's still the Chiyah Malchah. There's only that limited case of Asaras Pachom that the Chiyah Malchah is relaxed. But in this case of adding a candle, there would be a Chiyah Malchah. And by extension, same thing. You tell the Nachri that you tell him that I can't sleep because of the light, even though that's Remiza Shalobi Derech Sivoi, that he's doing a Malacha Gemara, he's turning off the lights, and there should be a Chiyav Macha, and therefore no allowance for Remiza Shalobi Derech Sivoi.
Shouldn't the Chiyav Macha go with a sort of...
So Rav Yashav assumes that's not the case. Rav Neuvert, in the Sefer Amir Lenachri, he quotes a letter from Rav Neuvert. This is in Perek Beis, footnote Yud Ches. He quotes a letter from Rav Neuvert who assumes that to be the case, that it can't be that there's a Chiyav Macha'a where there's no Isser Hana. And the two should go hand in hand. But Rav Yashav in this citation seems to not be assuming that. He also quotes in this Sefer from Rav Karelis, who also assumed that not the way, although Rav Karelis had a different chiluk. Rav Karelis' chiluk is between a situation where the Nachri would perform an action without asking permission. If someone walks into your house and sees that the candle isn't burning properly, that there's some pechem blocking it, so he wouldn't ask permission of the Baal HaBus to remove the pechem. It's understood that even if it's not your house, you would, without asking permission, remove the pachah. But you wouldn't go into someone's house and without permission turn on the lights or turn off the lights. That's something you'd ask the Baal Bayis about before doing. That's his distinction. But Shmir Shabbos Al-Khasar of Neuvert assumes that there's no Chiyav Macha any time there's no Isser Hanah. And therefore, the heter of Remiza Shalom Derech Sivui would be relevant to the case of the light on in the bedroom where you can't fall asleep. Even Rav Yashiv, or even Rav Zilberstein in that piece, acknowledges that there are situations in which it would be permissible to have the Nachri turn off the light in the bedroom. He says, if there's nowhere else to sleep and a person is experiencing a significant sa'ar in not being able to sleep with the light on, so then, since turning off the light in that situation is only an issur d'rabbanan because it's a malacha she'nasuch l'gufa, it's not like you're extinguishing a candle because you need the pecham. There's nothing that's a result of the kiboy where there's going to be any tangible benefit. So it's fundamentally a malacha she'nasuch l'gufa, which is only the rabbanon. As we discussed, many assume that if you have a malacha she'nasuch l'gufa, you could add that to the equation of shvus to shvus b'makom tzorech gadol. So if there's going to be extreme discomfort and not being able to sleep, then that's at least a shvus to shvus b'makom tzorech gadol, b'makom extreme discomfort, and you could have the nachri de malacha. If that's the analysis, then it should follow that you can even tell the Nachri directly to turn off the lights. Because when it comes to Shavuot or Shavuot Malka Mitzvah, there's no adifus for Remiza. So I would have said, according to that logic, if you're going to invoke Shavuot or Shavuot Malka Mitzvah, so then it should be permissible to tell the Nachri directly to turn off the lights. Rav Zilberstein doesn't say that. He says that, no, it's still better to do Remiza Shalom B'derech Tzivoy, because hakala kal tkila, because it's better to minimize the level of amir l'nachri. That sounds like a chiddush. I thought we generally assume that where amir l'nachri is permissible, let's say shvus shvus and malka mitzvah, so there's no adifus to remiza over amira. If it's mutter, it's mutter. The only situation in which remiza comes into play is this kind of case of remiza shalom b'derech sivui for something where there's no iser hana. The exact. But he seems to assume that there's a notion of a kala kal pila, there's a hierarchy in forms of amira. I thought that was Kiddush. Yeah.
So is it possible that the Kiddush of Elohim is based on the idea that because they consider amira akum that we don't want people to ask claim to the malacha on their behalf? So even though a kala kal pila, but assuming we use a mizah, it avoid that issue of a gam, right?
Again, that's the Kiddush. He seems to assume that there's an adifus for Miza. I wasn't under the impression that Poskim assumed that way. He doesn't explain, he just kind of says it. Okay. Okay, let's move on to what's essentially part two of the treatment of Amir Lenachri, maybe part three or part four. We're not going to spend as much time on this as we spent on the previous subtopics, but questions of Kablanos and Anachrim performing a Malacha on behalf of Israel in a commercial setting. So the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil Arisa, Tosfos Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil Arisa, presents a machlokas for Bein Tam and the Ri about the following. Everyone agrees that I can't hire a non-Jewish worker who's a Sekir Yom, a day laborer who gets paid by the day to do work for me on Shabbos. That's clear. I can't hire someone specifically to do work for me on Shabbos. But to do work that involves Malacha for me on Shabbos. But what about a Kablan? Kablan, a contractor, is someone who gets paid a set salary for the job. He doesn't get paid by the hour, he doesn't get paid by the day, he gets paid by the job. So what's the status of a Kablan doing Malacha on behalf of Yisrael on Shabbos? So Rabbeinu Tam assumes that in principle, with caveats that we'll discuss, but in principle, a Kablan is allowed to do work on behalf of Yisrael on Shabbos, because the fact that he's doing Malacha on Shabbos is essentially the way the Magen Avraham explains it in Resh Mem Dalet Sivkatan Aleph. Resh Mem Dalet Sivkatan Aleph is essentially, this is a daita d'nafshei. It's his decision when he wants to do the malach. As far as I'm concerned, he should take Shabbos off. I couldn't care less when he does a job. I just want the job to get done. I don't need it to be done on Shabbos. He can work every other day of the week. If he chooses to work on Shabbos, that's his prerogative, that's his problem. It has nothing to do with me. So that's how we paskin, essentially, like the Rabbeinu Tam. Take a look at Simin Reish Mem Dalet in the beginning. The Mechava writes the following. Posek, Rama says, Perish Masna, or Osias or Rama. Posek imeina Yehudi al Malacha. So you're allowed to make a deal, make an arrangement with a non-Jew to perform Malacha. The Kosei Samim, and you can set his salary, set the money he's going to get paid. The Eina Yehudi Osala Atma. And then the Nukri works on his own schedule. The Alpha P, Shehu Osa B'Shabbos, Mutter. Even if he chooses to do the work on Shabbos, that is permissible. Here's a major caveat that we'll have to get back to. B'medvar Memurim B'Tzina, that's only true if he's doing the work in a private setting. She'ein Makirim Hakol, Shezu HaMalacha Nazis B'Shabbos Shayisrali, where people don't realize that this Malacha is being performed on behalf of a Jew. I might say you do him for Samas Aser, but if people know that this non-Jew is doing the work on behalf of a Jew, then it's going to be Aser, even if he's a Kablan. Why? Sharoa es eini Yehudi, Oseg eini Yodei Shekatsas. He's not aware that the guy's a Kablan. The Omer Shepoini Sachar eini Yehudi Lasos Machu Shabbos. He'll think he's a Sekir Yom. He'll think that this Yisrael hired the eini Yehudi to do Malacha for him on Shabbos. But leaving aside that caveat of Sina versus public, in principle, we pass in light there, Rabbeinu Tam, that you can engage the services of a kavlan, even if the kavlan is going to be doing work on Shabbos. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, Sof Kaf and Beis, the quotes of Magen Avraham that we just quoted. The cave and Shekatzah Sadaitit in Afshei Kavid. Since you set a set salary, a set rate for the job, the fact that the Nokri is doing the work on Shabbos is his own prerogative. Lemayer Lahashlam Alafto, he wants to get the job done faster. So that's up to him. Dili Yisrael ain't competitive as that. The Yisrael doesn't care when the Nokri does the Malacha. As far as Israel is concerned, he could work on Friday, he could work on Shabbat, he could work on Sunday, he could work on Monday. Obviously, if you're going to tell or have an arrangement where the Nachri needs to work on Shabbat, that's going to be awesome. But if the Israel doesn't care less, then it's mutter to hire the Kabbalah, even if the Kabbalah is going to end up working on Shabbat. You can't tell him to work on Shabbat, but if you don't tell him, he wants to work on Shabbat on his own, that is permissible. Yeah.
Even if there isn't an opportunity for him to avoid working on
Shabbos. No, that's something else. We'll get to that in a minute. Good. It's on there.
Is the language of Adaita in Nafshi Ka'avid, is it the Magen Avraham's formulation?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so therefore, for example, we'll see this in Shulchan Aruch. Open up to Simon Reish Nun Beis. Sif Beis. Simon Reish Nun Beis, Sif Beis. Umutr Litain Begadav Lekoves Eina Yehudi. So you're allowed to give your clothing to the non-Jewish laundromat, the non-Jewish dry cleaners. The Oris L'Avdan, or your skins to the tanner. We don't use tanners too much these days. Samach L'Chashecha, right before Shabbos begins. Im Katzus L'Damim, if you arranged a fee for the job. Osha Osa Osama Tova Sana, or if there's a Tova Sana relationship where you're not paying him formally, but he's doing it, he gets some non-tangible benefit from doing the work for you. Vehu Shiloh Yomer Lo Lasis B'Shabbos. As long as, number one, you don't tell the Nachri to do the work on Shabbos, V'gam She'as Eini Yedim Lachu Veson, as long as the Nachri does it in his house, in his store, he doesn't do it in a public way where anyone would see him doing work on behalf of a Yisra. Okay, so the dry cleaning service is an example of a kablan, getting paid not by the hour, not for working on a specific day, but by the job. So you can drop it off before Shabbos, and if he chooses to work on Shabbos, that's his prerogative. Look at the Mishnah Berurah here, Tivkat and Tezayin. So the Mechaber just said you're not allowed to tell him to do it on Shabbos. V'chein im amr lekoves re'esh ani tzarech lehavim mosei Shabbos. You tell him you're dropping it off 5 minutes for Shabbos, and you say I need it 5 minutes after Shabbos is over. Kigon sheros alisa miyad mosei Shabbos. Gamza aser afil v'katzatz. So here, even if he's a kablan, even if you set a price for the job, that's still usher. The kaven sheyefsher legamro elam kenyas b'shabbos havaleki lo amr b'feirish sheyichabes b'shabbos rabbi kishluchas. So since there's no way of doing the work without him working on Shabbos, that's going to be usher. So you can't drop it off at the dry cleaners 5 minutes before Shabbos and say you need to pick it up 5 minutes after Shabbos. But if you don't need it till Wednesday, you can drop it off 5 minutes for Shabbos, and he can choose to do it whenever he wants. Avi.
So, do we care about when the guy's business is usually open, or what's
So Avi's asking, let's say you need it first thing Monday morning. The dry cleaners are open on Shabbos. They close on Sunday, and they reopen on Monday. So you're going to drop off your suit 5 minutes before Shabbos and say, I need it first thing Monday morning. So you know, practically, the only way they're going to do it is if they work on Shabbos. But as far as you're concerned, they could do it on Sunday. They happen to have to be open Sunday, but you don't care. As far as you're concerned, they can come in and work on Sunday. And you have no need for them to do it on Shabbos, per se. Yep. So that's a machlokes ha-poskim. Moshe, chelek dalet simen nun dalet, chelek dalet simen nun dalet, archayim, chelek dalet simen nun dalet, assumes that this would be permissible. Why? Because this is also a daita d'napshe. The fact that he's closed on Sunday is a daita d'napshe. If he wants to take the day off and play baseball, go fishing, or do whatever he wants, that's his prerogative. As far as you're concerned, he could just as well close on Shabbos and open on Sunday. So how he picks his hours, what days he wants to be open, is of no concern to me. So Moshe assumes that under these circumstances, it would be mutter to drop it off 5 minutes before Shabbos, say I need it first thing Monday morning, even if you know full well that he's closed on Sunday.
Does it presumably not apply if there are questionable other places like in Bergen County where they have bulas?
So I think, as far as the dry cleaners, I don't think there's any... The dry cleaners couldn't be... Well, first of all, do bulas apply to dry cleaners?
I don't know, but if they...
I'm not sure. If they did...
Yeah,
so you can Google that while we're answering. But I presume that even if you can have the storefront open, you can have all the dry cleaning going on in the back of the store. So as far as the dry cleaners are concerned, I would say even if there are blue laws, the blue laws don't prohibit them from doing the dry cleaning. Now, if they make the calculation that they don't want to open the store if they can't take new customers just to do the dry cleaning, that's also a daita d'napshe, because arguably they have enough work to do in the back, even without the new customers. But let's say there was a kind of situation where the blue laws would be relevant. That's an interesting question. I think practically the dry cleaners is the most lemaisa application of this. Maybe a car mechanic also.
Construction of a house.
No, that we'll get to. That's a separate discussion. But
leaving your factory open.
1 second. So the dry cleaner situation, I think my father is correct. Car mechanic or mechanic. I think mechanics will have to be open on Sunday. Even bringing out there. Yeah. So this may be your question may be more theoretical than practical. Anyway, that's from Moshe. Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen in his book quotes from Rabbi Yashiv was machmer on the Shiloh, even though it's probably not so relevant in Eretz Yisrael because everyone's open on Sunday anyway.
Friday, yeah.
But I'm sorry?
Could you drop it off? They're closed on Fridays.
Dry cleaners probably open on Fridays.
Schools are closed on Fridays.
Although no one dry cleans there probably.
Yeah, schools are closed on Fridays.
Okay, so that's when you cheat on
Well, so no, but they're also closed on Shabbos. That doesn't.
No, you drop it off Thursday in the middle of the night.
Right, but they're closed on Friday, they're open on Shabbos?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think if they're closed on Friday, they're closed on Shabbos. So he quotes Rabbi Yashiv as being machmer on this. He quotes some other quote, and I didn't have a chance to see them inside the Mari Yasad, the Mari Yosher. My impression was that under most circumstances, the common practice is to be machmer on this. Although, under extenuating circumstances, there's probably what to rely on with Rav Moshe. Although, you'd have to figure out how long does it really take to dry clean the suit. So, probably to ask the people in the profession. But I presume that half hour, an hour. I want to take it directly. So if you drop it off half hour before Shabbos, an hour before Shabbos, that's probably enough time for them to do it in theory before Shabbos, and that would solve the problem.
Or if you pick it up Monday morning at 10 o'clock, then not.
Right, or you tell them you pick it up, you want to pick it up Monday at 10. Right. Yeah.
And you have to assume that they open at 9, you can assume that they come in at...
Okay, if you're going to be... if you're going to be makran the shayla, so then you have to be honest with what their hours are. So if they open at 9, they tell them at 10. If they open at 8, tell them at 9, I guess. Avi.
So according to Rabbi Yashid, if someone goes to a dry cleaner and they say, let's say Erev Yom Tov, it's 2 days,
right.
And they say, we'll have it ready by 4 o'clock on the second day of Yom Tov, but I'm not going to pick it up for a couple days later. Do I have to tell them, don't do malacha for me? I want you to only do the suit starting Wednesday? If let's say it's a Monday, Tuesday.
I think you probably have to tell them, I don't need it until that day.
And then if they do, it's adaptive knowledge.
Right. I mean, if there's an assumption that they're getting, if there's an assumption, if they're telling you, you're dropping it off an hour before Yom Tov, they're telling you it's happening on Tosheni. So if the assumption is that they're doing it under that schedule, so you probably should tell them, I don't need it until the day later, and then they choose to do it, that's their problem.
Does mm-hmm. letters fit into this?
We'll get to letters. Okay. So again, the Mechaber in the beginning of Reish Mem Daled mentioned the requirement of tzina, that even though there's a general heter to allow a kavlan to do malacha on your behalf, even if he's doing it on Shabbos because of a daita d'nafshe, that only applies if there's not going to be any public knowledge. And the formulation in the Mechaber was that we're concerned that people may think that the person is not a kablon, but a sekir yom, that you hired him specifically to do malacha on Shabbos. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura in Simon Reish Nun Beis, Sifkata Yud Zayin. So this is the halakha we just read about the kobes.
Where was it again?
Simon Reish Nun Beis. Against the Mechaber, it said that if you're going to give the clothing to the dry cleaners before Shabbos, you can't tell him to do it on Shabbos, and he has to do it in the privacy of his house. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yizayim, Vasalomar Shalom Beis Yisrael, that you can't have the dry cleaners doing the malach in your house. The Az Matzik Iluhu Osa Mishlichus Yisrael, that if the dry cleaner is doing the work in your house, so then it looks like he's doing it at your request. The Katan Bechayadim, the Beis Yisrael Aser, Afilu Imhu Davar, Shemina Kol B'nei Ha'ir, Litno B'Kablanus, V'lo Aser L'Mechshadei B'Skirio. So Chai Adam says that even if it's a type of work that is traditionally done B'Kablanus, so no one's going to think that this guy is a Skirio. So the whole concern we saw in Shulchan Aruch and Simei Reish Mem Daled is if a Nachri Kavlan does the work for you out in the street, people are going to think that you hired him as a Sekir Yom. But here is the kind of profession that no one hires as a Sekir Yom. No one hires a dry cleaner by the day. You hire by the job. So even if it's a type of profession where no one would think that it's a Sekir Yom, it's still going to be Aser B'Beis Shel Yisrael. That people are going to think that you told him to do the work for you on Shabbos. So there are two considerations. Number one, people might think that you hired a Sekir Yom, and even if it's clear that you didn't hire a Sekir Yom, people might think that you instructed the person to do it on Shabbos. Even a Kablon, you're not allowed to instruct to do Malacha on Shabbos. Okay, take a look at Simon Reish Mem Vav Sif Beis. Simon Reish Mem Vav Sif Beis. Aser lahashil shum kli le'eno Yehudi b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to lend out any kli to a nachri on Shabbos. Afilu be'er Shabbos in musamul chashecha, or a minute before Shabbos. Kol shein shos lo'tziyam mipesach beisach shel amashil kodem chashecha. The nachri is coming to your house to pick up the lawnmower 30 seconds before Shabbos. So by the time he gets out of the house, it's going to be Shabbos already. So if you're going to lend something out to an offering, he's going to be carrying it outside once it's already Shabbos, so people are going to think that you asked him to carry it, and therefore it's usher because of that, let's say, Maris Ayin consideration. We'll stop here, and the next time, which should be our last chabura before the Bechina, we'll talk about mail delivery, home construction, and shtar mechira. And then I think we'll conclude with that. Yeah.